Okay, so sorry, just clean house all up here. Okay, little introduction to the morning, what we're doing today. Is that going to bug you? Yeah, I understand. My mic's on. Oh, is it on now?
It's on.
Okay, excellent. I think that's the first time it's been on a morning, hasn't it?
No.
Anybody know where you're? Okay.
What year are you with it, on or off?
Yeah. You're good. You're projecting.
Is it out of batteries?
It says it's out of batteries. So, okay. So I'll just yell. There you go. I'm telling you, folks, picking up pens, carrying microphones. Yes. I feel like asking for a pizza.
Don't push it.
Okay. So last week we came to the end of John chapter 10. And John chapter 10 is a turning point in the Gospel of John. Roughly 2.5-3 years from John 1 to John 10. Actually, John 1 starts with eternity, so you can't really count that. But roughly, chronologically speaking, 2.5-3 years for the first 10 chapters. Thank you, Lauren. The last 11 chapters, 2 or 3 months. So today's a good day to pause, because the last half of John's gospel is going to go slowly. We're going to have just 3-4 chapters. Oh, looky there. 3 or 4 chapters of Jesus praying, of Jesus just being alone with the disciples, of Jesus moving towards arrest and crucifixion and resurrection and time with the disciples after that. So I believe that's kind of the Lord is saying, okay, let's prepare today to kind of slow down, if you will, for the rest of John and just realize things are going to move at a slower pace. And so today we kind of pause a little bit. Jesus, at the end of John 10, gives the religious establishment authority people, if you will, one more chance to say, look at my works, look at me, this is your chance to believe, and they still wanted him dead. And so, much of a turning point. So I thought today, with communion, with this spot in John, it would be a good day to kind of recap, sing maybe a little more, kind of pause and talk about the word. John's gospel does not begin like every other gospel. Matthew and Luke start with stories of a baby being born and genealogies and all that. Mark starts just right with John the Baptist and Jesus getting baptized. John starts in eternity. It's kind of like if the Superman story started with Superman wearing the cape and the S on his chest, and then later on you found out he was Clark Kent, right? John kind of starts like that. You start off knowing, oh, we're talking about someone who was in the beginning. He was with God and he was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. So we just start off by saying, we're going to be talking about somebody who's capital W word. He's Logos, and he's God. And he was, and he already was in the beginning. When the beginning happened, he was already wasing before that. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the word is, as we will see, the present reality of the word. With a crucial turning point happening today, the first 14 verses of John sum up the entire book of John, if you will. But we're moving towards communion. We'll get to that in just a minute. We walk your way back through these first 14 verses. We see little hints along the way like, if we're going to, communion is so normal. I was even thinking early this morning, if you've only been in church for 1 year of your life, you've still done communion 12 times if it was here. 12 times, right? So it may already have become just a bit of a routine. But one of the things that's going to happen is, as we see in the Gospel of John, is that as the Word becomes flesh, the Word can't become flesh without something very disruptive happening, if you will. You don't just walk around as God and everything stay the same. And so we're going to see Jesus does something brand new, something disruptive to the religious system of his people. And there are hints along the way that become just outright declarations. And the hints become more than hints, that the Son of God, the I Am, came to die. His road was destined for the cross. And so that's where we're going today. So we're going to start with some singing. So the worship team's going to come up. But we start with the eternal Word. We praise him for the words was and the words became. And now we take John's words. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So we do not come today because we have an obligation to the law. We come today because of what we have received from Jesus Christ. And because of what we've received, we get to sing. So let's do that. I'm going to guess everybody in this room has felt let down more than once in their life. And here we sing a song about your goodness, about how you never let us down. Lord, sometimes the most beautiful moment in our lives is when the world lets us down. The day we find out that all the riches this world has to offer will never do. The day the world lets us down and we know it, it's a beautiful moment because we can turn and say, but God's good. God is good. People let me down, and this world lets me down, and frankly, I let me down more than anybody lets me down. But you don't. You're consistently, faithfully good. You're good when life is turned on its head. You're good always. And so we thank you that we get to sing to you, we get to gather and sing to you and open your word together. Continue to show us your goodness this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. So I said we're really here today for communion. We're leading up to communion. But I wonder if that really was the trajectory of Jesus' life, and if it makes sense that we move that way. And I say that because there are any number of best-selling books, any number of Oprah videos you can look up on YouTube where she says to the watching world, Jesus did not come to die. Jesus came to show us how to love and how to live in harmony with God. And dying was just kind of a tragedy at the end. Best-selling book came out 5 or 6 years ago, stayed on the New York Times bestsellers for a while, where this guy was on all the news networks hawking his book, where he starts the book by saying that he draws this little scene of Mark, the writer of Mark's gospel, standing in Jerusalem on the walls, watching the Romans come and realizing everything he knows is about to come to an end. And before he escapes, he comes up with this plan. I know what I'll do. Jesus came to help us defeat the Romans. He obviously failed. I know what I'll do. I'll write a story about his life where he planned to die and he resurrected. And so he escapes Rome, or escapes Jerusalem just in time, and he goes and makes up this story about Jesus saying he would die and then coming back to life and that he's risen and lives in our hearts and blah, 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 right? So it's just not uncommon if you listen to just kind of look at the death of Christ as, oh, well, it's this kind of thing that happened, but surely there's better stuff going on, and to miss the fact that the Word of God tells us that Jesus is moving towards the cross the entire time. And as we walk through John, we see it time and time again. The Word became flesh and something extremely disruptive happened. And that disruptive thing that happened led him to a cross. And there's hints all along the way. But the very first story, actually, when we start getting into narrative in the Gospel of John, after we get through the prologue and we get to the people coming to question John the Baptist, Jesus, the first time he shows up, John looks up and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, for those of us who've been in church, sure, we've sang that, "Behold the Lamb." We've heard this text. It's just kind of common to think of Jesus as the Lamb of God. We sing choruses about Jesus as the Lamb of God, but this would have just blown people's mind when they heard John call Jesus the Lamb of God. For people who just don't have a church background, for people who are new to the Bible, it's just kind of a weird thing. And that's fine if this is a weird thing to you today. You're going, why do I need a lamb? Fluffy little woolly creature, right? But there's hints here. This is a bomb exploding on the scene. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that's that. He just says, here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the guy. And then Jesus starts calling disciples. And you go, oh, I guess we don't get explanation for that. We don't get, John doesn't stop and say, oh, and let me tell you what I mean for those of you who are confused. We don't get any of that. And oftentimes that happens in the Bible. We don't get commentary every step of the way. But then we start getting these little hints. He calls his disciples. He goes to a wedding and he turns all the water for purification, these big purification pots of water, he turns them into wine. He goes to the temple and he kicks out all the people with their animals selling for sacrifice and all the money changers. And it's a couple of really big hints because they force you to ask an important question. Well, how are these people going to purify themselves now? He just took all their water. Are they going to purify them? Are they going to wash with wine? That's kind of weird, right? What are these people going to do about changing their money? What are these people going to do about the sacrifices? Are they just going to kind of go, I was just going to buy that. And Jesus ran it out and it's running down the street. What am I going to do, right? And so there's these little hints that Jesus came to do something different, to be the one who purifies. He calls it his Father's house, right? And then this guy comes, and he's like at the top of the religious establishment, this Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. He knows the Bible. And Jesus just looks at him and says, you need to do the impossible. You're here to talk about God? Let me tell you about a kingdom that you can't see unless you're born again. Okay, he's confused. How do I do that, right? And born again. And then Jesus just comes right out in verse 14 of John chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Lifted up. He's already telling this. It's nighttime. He's there with this Pharisee who's got questions and this guy's from God. And he's like, you've got to be born again and I'm going to be lifted up. And God loved this world so much that he gave his son. So there's these little words along the way. It says Jesus is moving towards something, right? And it's not just for an exclusive group of people, because what happens in John chapter 4? He goes and finds a Samaritan woman at a well, and guess what? The entire village comes out, and then you've got this Roman official. So John chapter 4 says, by the way, this is bigger than you thought. He's got Gentiles in mind. He's got the nations in mind. Then John chapter 5, he heals a man who's been lame for 38 years. And he does it to the wrong day of the week, which means, okay, he heals on the Sabbath. He must be arrested. Well, I'm working with my father. Oh, he calls God his father. He needs to be more than arrested. He needs to die. I say what my father says. I do what my father does. Moses said I was coming. If you really believed Moses, you would believe me. My miracles are signs pointing to God. No, you need to go. Chapter 6, he feeds thousands of people by giving thanks over a little boy's lunch. And he says, yeah, I gave you bread, but guess what? Bread spoils and you're going to be hungry again in a couple of hours. I'm bread that satisfies forever and you will never perish. And then he says something totally outlandish that is, of all the PR moves in Jesus' ministry, this was the worst. He had thousands of people, and he starts saying stuff that whittles down his group to 12, right? He just keeps saying stuff, and people are like, I can't handle this, and he goes, and he goes, and he goes, and he goes, and he just says things like, well, you've got my flesh and my blood. You've got to take that to yourself. I'm giving my flesh and my blood for the life of the world. Flesh and blood? That sounds yucky. That sounds painful. How are you going to do that? And Jesus looks up, and guess what? Everybody's gone. Where'd everybody go? Are you going to leave? Where else are we going to go? Jesus, you're the only one with the words of life. We got nowhere else to go. They end up in Jerusalem at this big, big crowded feast. And something begins to become obvious. Word begins getting out that this is the guy the religious authorities want dead. But whenever he said something worthy of death, this little line comes up. His hour had not come yet. His hour had not come yet. Wait, Jesus has an hour? He's got a moment? He's got this moment he's moving towards? Well, what is this? And then he started saying things like, well, I'm going somewhere and you can't come. Where's he going? Okay, he's got an hour and he's going somewhere and we can't go there. I'm going back to him who sent me. Oh, goodness, no. Now you, yeah. Look, we've got law, we've got lineage. We got Moses, we got Abraham. We got all we need. He says, no, you don't, because if you don't believe me, you will die in your sin. And you're blind, and the reason you're blind is because you think you can see. The Father's after my glory, you're after my death. Guess what? I am. Before Abraham, I am. And what do? They pick up stones. Guess what? It's not his hour yet. No, you got to die. No, it's not time for me to die. And then chapter 10, which has been my favorite chapter so far. It's just this word, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. The good shepherd loves his sheep. The good shepherd knows his sheep. The good shepherd gives himself for his sheep. I lay down my life so my sheep can have abundance. So, it doesn't take but just kind of flying through 10 chapters of this gospel to realize Jesus was moving towards the cross the entire time. So it makes sense that we would gather today and we would move towards remembering the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, it's going to take a while. It took us, I don't even remember when we started the Gospel of John. Anybody remember? It was a long time ago, forever ago, back when I was maybe in my 30s or 40s. Yes, in a galaxy far away. It was just forever ago, and it's going to take us that long to get to the end, but we're finally going to get to the place in chapter 19 where Jesus is going to be crucified. So we got 9 chapters to go, right? It's going to get there, but if this ruins the Gospel of John, if you've never heard of the Gospel of John and I just ruined the ending, please forgive me, but I figured you were reading ahead. He's going to die. Yeah, he comes back to life, for those of you. Yeah, we're going to have Easter in there too. So it's not a tragic mistake. It's not like, man, he came to be a rebel. He came to really shake things up and take over, and doggone, they killed him. Rats, that didn't end well. Who's going to be next, right? No, it's like Jesus is the Lamb of God, and he's lifted up, and he gives flesh and blood. So, it's a wondrous, amazing truth. So, I told Jason I would say his name loud enough for all to hear. So, as the men come forward to serve communion, how about that? It's like magic around here, people. So, this is a wondrous thing. This is an amazing thing. This is not accidental. I always say this. It's just an amazing thing that God gives us something we taste, we smell. If you've ever been in a church where they have those crackers that are really, really loud and you can hear everyone crunch at the same time, right? It's your ears, your nose, your mouth, your taste, where God says, I want you to get this so badly, I'm going to get all your senses involved. And he does that. And he says, I want you to do this regularly, 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 and one day I'll come back again and we'll do something different, and we'll just eat a big meal together. But a wondrous, amazing, awesome truth, the eternal Word, the Creator, the Son of God and Savior King came to die, to give eternal life, but to do so by dying, lifted up for our healing. So Jesus took the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. He said, as often as you eat this in remembrance of me. So we come to the cup, and Jesus says, this is my blood. And blood's it's a strange thing. If you give your blood, you give your life. And some people just around the side of blood get really squeamish. Just last week in my Wednesday class, teach a worldview to high school juniors and seniors, and at the very end of class, I showed a video of some atheists who were, they were basically performing an autopsy on a giraffe and commenting about how poorly it was designed. They can take that up with God, whatever. But they showed how when the giraffe was once a fish, and how as it evolved from fish to giraffe, that it makes sense that there's things about it that are like that. So we're watching this giraffe and this autopsy, and it was the last thing we did. And when the class got up to leave, one of my students nearly passed out and fell on the floor. And because she couldn't handle the sight of the insides of a giraffe. Blood. If you give your blood, you give your life. Jesus gave his blood, he gave his life. We just sang, love so amazing. Could there be any more amazing love than Jesus would say, this is my blood? And then he says, we'll drink this together again someday. So this one has a promise attached to it. Get to drink this with Jesus. So he says, this is the blood of a new covenant, right? He came to turn things upside down. He turned to do something disruptive. This is the blood of a new covenant. As often as you drink this, do so in remembrance of me. Woven throughout John, as we've seen, are the I am statements. I am light of the world. Whoever walks in me will not walk in darkness. I'm the bread of life. I am. Each claim is amazing. Each claim is filled with promise. each claim demands a response, right? If he's bread, I come to him for satisfaction. If he's light, I walk in him. If he is I am, I worship. So great, amazing claims, each demanding a response. But I think my favorite so far has been, I am the good shepherd, I'm the door to the sheepfold. Where he just says, I know you, I love you, you are not anonymous, I've called you by name. I lay down my life for you, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Everybody else is trying to steal life from you, everybody's trying to take life from you, everybody else is trying to scatter these sheep. Nobody else has invested what I have invested in my sheep, so I stay with my sheep. I protect my sheep, and I give my life for my sheep. So because we're known, because we're loved, because we're called by name, we listen, we follow, and we receive. And so our last song this morning is a prayer. And we're going to take this song, we're going to see the words, they're going to go into our heart, and we're going to return those words back to our good shepherd as a prayer. So let's pray together in song.
Amen. That's a beautiful
prayer. And Paul goes on to say, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your bodies. Pray with me one more time before we go. God, it's been good this morning. Thank you for reminding us that you came to die and to live again. Thank you for communion. Thank you that we take it together. We take it individually, but we take it as a we as well. We take it as your church. We take it as your flock. We take it as the people brought into your fold, having come through the door of the shepherd. Thank you. And so we leave, ask you to give us a week, following closely to our shepherd. In Christ's name we pray.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.